Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Good morning, good morning. We're delighted to have you on board. Looking forward to our journey together as we face the issues today. We're going to be talking about today's broadcast, If the Foundations Be Destroyed. What do we do if the foundations of our nation are destroyed? How do we respond? What should we do in relationship to that? Psalms chapter 11 and verse 3 says very, very clearly that there is a, chapter 11, verse 3, yes. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What will we be able to do if our foundations are destroyed? And ladies and gentlemen, I believe we have been watching for the past 3 or 4 months now the undermining, the evisceration, the absolute shaking, and the ultimate destruction of our foundations. Now, the nation may not tumble in the next 24 hours. That's not what I'm saying or what I'm alluding to at all, but I'm just simply wanting us to understand that we have watched the shaking and the destruction of the foundations of the United States of America. We're a constitutional republic with a representative form of government, and we're watching one by one as these ideals that we have codified in our Constitution, especially as found in our Bill of Rights, as they're being eviscerated before our eyes today. And while we as sheeple, not sheep, as sheeple, simply bow and bend and say, yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. As we look at the Word of God, we find that it is the only thing that is truth. It's not just a source book to find some truth. It is total truth. And as we look at the truth book, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, we find it is truth. Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth shall make you free. Only way we know the truth is to stay in the Word of God. And then Jesus identifies himself in John 14:6. He says, I am truth. And then to show that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh, God incarnate, that the Word of God is the Logos of God, which is Jesus Christ. He says in John 17:17, thy word is truth. And so, ladies and gentlemen, when we speak the truth, we need to recognize what truth really is. And the fundamental foundation of truth is nothing less than the Word of God. It was George Orwell a number of years ago that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we find that taking place in our nation. I believe perhaps today more than ever in the history of America. I know it's happening today more in the history that I've known in less than 100 years than any other time I have ever witnessed. Ladies and gentlemen, it was the 15th century church reformer and theologian Jan Hus that said it very, very clearly, and I have appreciated his words for some time now. He says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. I think that's a good motto for Christians. I think that's a good standard for us to go by as Christians, that we seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth. Most are willing to buckle and bow regardless of whether it's truth or not because they're not willing to defend it. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time also carries a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators. They carry a full line of professional landscape and homeowner landscape equipment. They also have a knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about all of the power equipment that they sell at Tools for Time. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the location of that intersection where there's a gigantic flag, 165-foot pole with Old Glory flying 24/7. Base of that flagpole, you'll find Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we must be ever alert. I don't think there's a time in the history of our nation that there is a greater need for Christians to be alert, for citizens to be alert, for those of us that trust the Lord, that depend on God. I don't know if it's a better time, a more urgent time to be alert. I think we need to never slumber asleep. I believe we're really seeing what's taking place in America. I believe it calls for our attention. I believe we need to sit up, stand up, take notice. By way of a real pandemic, and I'm not minimizing the coronavirus at all, it's deadly. But ladies and gentlemen, it's proven, already proven itself to be no different than the common, normal, annual flu as far as the deaths that it's presented, the number of lives it's taken. Go back to 2016, 17, 18, 19, and so forth, 2020, and you'll find the numbers are almost matched across the United States of America. And I realize there were some hot spots, as in New York, but nevertheless, we ought not to be held hostage in our nation. Recently, I saw a sign held by one of the Open America protesters. I believe it was in either Virginia or Michigan, and he was holding a sign. Let me tell you what his sign said. I would rather die on my feet than on my knees. You hear what he said? I'd rather die on my feet than on my knees. So that's what he was really saying. He was telling us simply this: America is a constitutional republic. We have liberties. We have freedoms. And we have been, had our liberties and our freedoms literally trampled underfoot. Most Americans have simply bowed to the draconian house arrest. And that's what we've had, house arrest. We have allowed a police state with draconian methodology place all of the nation under house arrest. I don't know if there's an article that I find any more challenging, insightful than one that I have in my hands. Title of the article, Propaganda Wins. Sheeple, S-H-E-E-P-L-E, sheeple, not sheep, sheeple comply and freedom dies. The article gives two or three quotes and then it gets into the article. The further society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. George Orwell. I've used that quote many, many times on this broadcast. Hannah Arendt said, only the mob and the elite can be attracted by the momentum of totalitarianism itself. The masses have to be won by propaganda, end quote. C.S. Lewis said, of all tyrannies, a tyrant sincerely exercised for the good of its victims and may be the worst oppressive. It would be better to live under robber barons than under omnipotent moral busybodies. The robber baron's cruelty may sometimes sleep. His credulity may at some point be satiated. But those who torment us for our own good will torment us without end, for they do so with the approval of their own conscience, end quote, C.S. Lewis. And this writer goes on to say, a healthy economy requires freedom. Locking up healthy people is insanity. COVID-19 is a trial, a drill, a original run as simulation of what the elitists want to do for America in the future. This is part of the plan for global governance, and a few people recognize this massive deception. Too many Americans have given up their freedoms and their logic to untrustworthy and deceptive authorities. I couldn't have stated that better. And then this writer goes on to talk about the stages that this takes place in. One of them is compliance. And this writer says, during the Holocaust, they convinced people to put their families on trains for their safety and good so they could be taken to a safe place. Well, all of us know the result of that. Is history repeating itself? The government has shown us just how quickly they can take over every aspect of our lives. Authorities decree only essential businesses can be open. We have allowed our civil liberties, the unalienable rights, to be terminated. You had to comply to do that. And Daniel Greenfield's recent article, he writes, this article is saying, information on your friends and neighbors used to be something that the socialists of the other side of the Iron Curtain used to do. What kind of people, we used to wonder, would do such things? This writer's talking about the snitch system. I found it fascinating in an article that I found online yesterday. There's about 900, and I'm sure there's been thousands, but 900 of the snitchers, those that have reported on their neighbors, did not realize it becomes public record. Sure, the names, addresses, and telephone numbers became public. Now they're petrified that their neighbors are going to retaliate for them snitching on them. And I don't know if any better thing could happen than for them to be petrified because of what they've done, which was an absolute egregious act in telling on the neighbor. It's a brown shirt approach, just as Hitler used in Germany. This article says, no wonder no more. Citizen states across the country made it the hour of the aspiring informant. If you always long to live in Cuba, North Korea, or the USSR, all you have to do is dial 1-800-INFO, I-M-F-O. This article goes on to talk about how stupid is the American population. We lost 80,000 people in 2017 and 18 flu season. But now we come close to, we closed down the American economic system with about 65,000 deaths. And it goes on to talk about the fact that we were told that 2.2 million people would die. And that absolutely has been a farce, a phony, a propaganda number. This article completes in this, wraps up in this statement. America's Constitution guarantees our God-given right to pray, to assemble, to speak, and to travel. Our civil liberties have been nullified with a virus that is less than 1% deadly. Thomas Jefferson said, I prefer dangerous freedom than peaceful slavery. This writer says it's time to take our liberties back. And I agree, ladies and gentlemen. We've watched it. Too many of us have sat in silence. In fact, that particular writer in a portion of the article said, and all of the pastors have been silent. Hear that? The very ones that you find that should have been at the forefront, at the tip of the spear, saying we're not going to allow our constitutional rights to be foreclosed on, our liberties and the freedom of speech and the freedom of worship, we're not going to allow it to be foreclosed on. Most pastors today are hiding under the bed, are sequestered in a closet, petrified that somehow, some way, the government might do something if they preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've been lied to, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Tedros of World Health Organization, Dr. Fauci, and Dr. Birx all have been lying to us. And I say that very bluntly, very directly. All of the people have vested interest. All of these talking heads, ladies and gentlemen, with the white jackets on, that's had us convinced that we're going to die if we don't sequester ourselves, that we're going to die if we're not quarantined, we're going to die if we don't keep a mask on, we're going to die if we don't close the churches down. All of this, ladies and gentlemen, is propaganda that's being stated by those that have a vested interest in the outcome and what they're going to gain by it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's brought about panic and hysteria. It's brought about chaos and confusion in our land today. You'll recall that the original lie was that 2.2 million people are going to die with the coronavirus, the COVID-19, as it's called. Then we were told that about 500,000 would die. And then more recently, we were told that the data set was off and they could not depend on the numbers anymore. And so they're saying now somewhere between 60 and 100,000 will die. And ladies and gentlemen, go back, Google it if you question it. Go back and check it out in America. That's about the annual number of deaths with the annual flu season. And other nations, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, are coming to the same conclusion and the recognition. Yet we have all witnessed the dress rehearsal, as I call it, the dress rehearsal of a future time when our constitutional liberties and our freedoms will be absolutely foreclosed upon. If you don't believe that, just ask Joe Biden. Joe Biden has already said, and he's following the Rahm Emanuel stand. He's following what Barack Hussein Obama said. Rahm Emanuel said, as you know, don't ever let a good crisis go to waste. Joe Biden just yesterday on a video interview, he said, we need, in his words, we need to use this pandemic as an opportunity to fundamentally change America, to fundamentally change America. Our Islamic president, Barack Hussein Obama, said the same thing, that if he was elected, he was going to fundamentally change America. Well, he did. He has. He sowed the seed of fundamental change in America. And we're watching the fruit bear today in that fundamental change that is taking place in the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not a democracy. We have devolved into it. We're a constitutional republic with a representative form of government. And you recall, ladies and gentlemen, that we've been told over and over and over again, in fact, our president's been duped. Some called it punked into believing that 2.2 million people will die. That's what motivated him to do everything he could, everything under his power, to protect America. What are we watching? Keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, the orders by the mayors and the governors across America. All of those orders, listen carefully. And I've been accused of this, so let me clarify something. I'm not talking about any way that we need to have anarchy in America. That's not the point at all. But we need to be wise enough, and if you've not had a good civics lesson before, let me give you one this morning. We need to be wise enough to understand what makes law. Law is when you have a bill that is debated in the House of the Senate in any state, or the House and the Senate in the United States Congress. It's debated. It's determined. The bill is passed by a majority vote, and then it goes on the desk of either a governor or a president to sign. And then, and only then, ladies and gentlemen, is it law. Anything else is just idle threats. Anything else is just the idle philosophies and the executive orders of wannabe dictators. If you don't believe that, go back and check me. There's already been about 60 or 70 suits filed against governors and mayors because of religious liberties. Another 40 or 50 suits have already been filed by people just simply saying, give us back the right to work because we have that right in our Constitution. Each and every one of these cases thus far, before it reaches a judiciary position, before a judge hears it, it is dropped by the complainants, i.e., the police departments, the mayors, or the governors, because it will not hold water under the scrutiny of the Constitution and what is called law. And I have said time and time again, I believe it's time across America, thousands and yea, tens of thousands of people say, we're going back to work. You're not going to rob us of our livelihood. You're not going to rob us of the right to keep and bear arms. You're not going to rob us of the right to worship. You're not going to rob us of the right to support our families. The Constitution guarantees us those liberties. But ladies and gentlemen, these mayors are drunk with power, as one person put it. In fact, here's an article that substantiates what I have just alluded to. The author of the 2.2 million dead study, bankrolled by Big Pharma. Now, let me just cut through the chase, give you a little clarity. What's called the Express of London noted that Ferguson's, that's Ferguson's pharmaceutical model, in the fight against the swine flu a decade ago, he predicted 65,000 people in the UK would die, United Kingdom would die. Only 457 people died of the swine flu in the UK. He's the very one, that organization is the very one, that through Imperial College of London, published in March of this year, that 2.2 million people would die in the United States. He said that 500,000 would die in Britain for the coronavirus. Just 10 days later, he told a preliminary committee in the UK that the death toll is unlikely to even reach 20,000 in the UK. And more than half that number would have died anyway, he said, during the course of the year, because of their age and underlying illnesses. He told the panel the current UK figure is more than 28,000, while in the United States the record has been more than 65,000. The bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, I can go back in historic record and show you that all of these people that have been forecasting doom and gloom, they're simply mouthpieces for Bill Gates. Bill Gates has already developed and has a patent pending on one of the vaccinations that will include his ID2020 microchip to trace every human being on the face of the globe. Follow the money trail. You've always heard that, and that's a fact even in this case. Ladies and gentlemen, there is an answer, a resolution to this dilemma that we're faced with. Back in 2012, I had the privilege of publishing a book entitled The Coming Revolution. Will there be a revolution? And I've said, yes, there will. The revolution will either be on the battlefield or the ballot box. My preference is the ballot box. And I believe the only hope that we have as free American citizens is found at the ballot box. November the 3rd of this year, we'll have the general election across America. There are other elections, it's primaries, and others that will be taking place other than just the November election. But it's important that we vote. You realize in 2016, 31 million American Christians did not vote. And as a result of that, we have had major, major catastrophic results. We need to understand that Christians have a right to vote, and we need to do so. The Bible is very, very clear, ladies and gentlemen. I've got a guest that we're going to introduce in just a moment. But before we introduce our guest, I'll read you a verse of Scripture, do a little brief analysis, and then transition into what I want to say for the balance of this broadcast. In Exodus chapter 18 and verse 21, the Bible says, "Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds and rulers of fifties and rulers of tens." Ladies and gentlemen, this is God's election guide. God's election guide. Who should we elect? How should we make a decision on who we put in office of those that will be, as the Bible uses the term, ruling over us? That is able men. That means we need to elect men that have capability to carry out the task they're elected to. Those that are competent, having the understanding and ability to carry out the task. I'm always saddened to see knee-jerk responses and electing people based on whimsical, how they part the hair, how they speak, or how they dress, or the zip code that they're from, and somehow feeling that they're capable as a result of that. That is simply not the case. God's word says needs to be able men. That means having capability, having competence, and then men with conviction. So such as fear God. That word fear means to have awe, reverence for, submission to. Men of character, the scripture says, men of truth. That means they're trustworthy. We need to elect men that are trustworthy. Not covetous, that is hating covetousness, the scripture says in that text. Not standing with the hand out for a bribe or to receive a payoff. 99% of what we see in Washington today, they make votes and decisions based on big pharma or based on big business or big bank, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If you don't believe that, look at how the Bidens were connected to the hip with Ukraine and siphoning off dollars going to Ukraine. Look at how they were connected to China and what they were doing there. And may I simply have the liberty to say I believe that's happening across the lanes, across the aisles with both Democrats and Republicans. We need to elect men locally, statewide, and nationally that are able men, having capability, having the ability, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. Ladies and gentlemen, I've taken said all of that to say this. I have with us in the studio today a friend of mine that's known me and put up with me for about 40 years. I am thankful for him. He's a brother in Christ, Don Redmond. Brother Don is running for city council seat, District 4. Perhaps you remember him as having served us for 8 years. He got what we call termed out of the city council. Sometimes term limits are good, and sometimes it puts good men out of office that could continue to help us in our city, in our state, in our nation. But Brother Don is with us today. He's our special guest on Let's Face the Issues. Brother Don, thank you for joining us today. Delighted to have you with us.
Well, thank you, Dr. Youngblood, and thank you for your friendship. Yeah, we've been friends for 40 years, and I enjoy your input into I trust you.
Amen.
And I agree. Let's get back to work. That is my theme in this campaign I have going now. Let's get back to work.
Get back to work. I agree with that.
We have been duped in many ways with this virus, and not to downplay that that it's there, but all these statistics that Brother Gene was just giving us, I mean. I think it the damage that we have done to our nation, to the workforce in this nation, is far more catastrophe oriented than the illnesses that came from it. It just didn't happen. So, you know, I'm praying that we'll get back to work soon. I'm praying that the damage that has been done will not overtax our city budget, our national budget. I heard this morning where the, you know, nationally we're fixing to borrow some money to get out of this financial crisis that we've developed on our own. It's really scary to think that, you know, you can shut down our nation.
I would have never dreamed that possible.
I would never have dreamed it. And it's scary. I mean, just think, if they can do this.
By fiat, just say, shut your doors.
Yes.
One writer said that we'll have a greater damage financially and morally and ethically and physically as a result of the shutdown, more so than from the virus itself.
I don't see how we can keep from it. You know, there are a lot of businesses that will not survive this. I'm a small businessman myself, been in business for 50 years, and it's a struggle. But there's a lot of businesses out here that is just getting started or been trying to make it on the shoestring. They'll never make it. They'll never be able to open back up. It's going to be devastating to a lot of small businesses, devastating to a lot of households, and the pressure that it puts on the household, mental stress is, I hear it on the news regularly, the problems that are created in the home. We were bad enough as it was in our family relationship. And this is one of the issues that I fought before on city council, is family values and trusting God. And I was chaplain of the city council for 2 different years. I took a beating for that. ACLU threatened to sue me for praying in Jesus' name. But, I dedicated my life to Christ, and I don't change. I don't deter from that, from what a man tells me that I have to do. God has stood by me and helped me through in many times crisis situations where people have put pressure on me to go the other way. But God, God looks after his people.
Amen.
You trust him, he'll take care of you. So, I'm trusting God to run for election again. I think this is where he wants me to serve. I can hit the ground running. I know the city. I know the issues that we have. I'm very conservative. At this point in time, we need somebody that can step in and go to work right away. The person, and this is a special election, the person in District 4 at this time is dropping out of the seat to run for another office, so it left it open. So, it's amazing how the Lord works. I feel that he, at this time, it just opened up just for me. So I'm throwing my hat in the ring, and I am running for City Council, District 4. And I'd love to have your support.
This is a special election, Don. Tell our people, we've got about 45 seconds left. Tell our people about this special election.
Well, it's a special election, but, it'll be on August the 18th with the primary of the general election coming up in November. The primary election is August 18th. That's when the election for this seat will take place. There could be a runoff if we get more than 2 people running in it. Right now, nobody else has filed, but probably will be in due time.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a 1-minute break for the top of the hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back with the balance of Let's Face the Issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.